Building an artificial intelligence machine learning engine is incredibly difficult and challenging.
You're listening to AI for B2B Sales and Marketing, a podcast dedicated to sharing the insights and stories of B2B sales and marketing executives as they begin to leverage artificial intelligence and machine learning to transform their customer engagement strategy. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to Artificial Intelligence for B2B Sales and Marketing. I'm your host, Jim Regan. I'm the CMO and co-founder of MRP. And joining me today is David McLaughlin, the Chief Executive Officer of Quantiverse, an industry leader focused entirely on the practical application of data science to solve real-world business problems. David's here today to talk to us about how Quantiverse is utilizing artificial intelligence and machine learning. So David, thanks so much for joining us today. Maybe you could introduce yourself and Quantiverse to our listeners.
Sure, Jim. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on your podcast. We started Quantiverse just about 4 years ago, and we are taking AI technologies, proprietary AI technologies that we have developed, and machine learning technologies, and applying it to the problem of financial crimes, you know, mostly money laundering and how to combat money laundering. But it also extends into bribery and corruption and fraud and items like that. But the existing industry, that technology industry that delivers anti-money laundering and AML solution to financial services banks primarily, is fairly old in the approach that it takes. It's a rules-based technology, which means that somebody writes a line of code that is a rule in software, and if a transaction or a series of transactions that go through a bank violate that rule, an alert is raised, and a person goes and investigates that alert to determine whether, in fact, it is indicative of some money laundering. So you can imagine that for a technology like that to catch all the instances and all the variations and all the nuances and all the changes that criminals engage in to try to move their money around the globe, it's virtually impossible for them to write every rule. And what an AI machine learning technology does is bring an ability not to have rules be the core of it, but have an ability to analyze vast amounts of data and find anomalies in that data that indicate risk.
I mean, how do you feed the system? I mean, do you upload criminals or criminal history, and then the machine just learns about that pattern?
Great question. So that's what these technologies require, is data. They absolutely have to. Machine learning technologies and software need data to be able to train themselves and to be able to learn. We were very lucky early on in the birth of our business to get a large global bank that believed in our vision, and to essentially give us 2 years of the transactional data that they had from their correspondent banking business. It was tens of millions of transactions. I think it was upwards of about 60 million transactions. And we were able to take our theory and the fundamental platform that we had built and use that 60 million transactions to prove the algorithms that we have had, improve the algorithms that we have had, and develop some new capabilities. And since then, we've ingested hundreds of millions, if not over a billion transactions to date, that have all gone to improve this capability. It's always improving, and it's always getting better, and it's always finding new anomalies, which is going back and adding to the capabilities that the core platform has.
Now, in this relationship you have with the bank, are they continuing to feed you fraudulent transactions? I mean, you have to let the machine know, like, okay, look, this is what we're trying to model out here. Or is it more broad-based than that, where you're just ingesting back transactions and the machine is determining sort of where the anomalies are? This way you can stay a step ahead of criminal activity.
Yeah, the value is in the second part. That's what the banks and that's what our clients want us to do, is to take transactions that they're not sure whether they are indicating some sort of risk of financial crimes or not, and give us those transactions and allow our systems to find the things that they have missed, that their rules-based engines have missed. So that's exactly what your second point is, the value. To train it, we started and we continue to take both. We will take transactions that have alerted from their existing systems or have alerted from their existing process and understand, in fact, whether those are indicative of crimes or not, or whether, in fact, they're accurate and they should be something that is alerted and sent to the federal government. A big problem in this industry is the amount of false positives. There's about a 95% false positive rate. What that means is those rules engines that create those alerts, 95 or more out of 100 alerts are in fact not criminal activities. And so there's a huge efficiency play in this industry that we can take out those false positives or a significant chunk of those false positives so the banks aren't having their human capital chase down things that in fact aren't suspicious of financial crimes.
Yeah, this is really transformative. I think for so many of our listeners, you know, conceptually the idea, they can imagine what a transition from a rules-based engine to a cognitive system, what that could enable within their organization. I think the question is, you know, how hard was this for you guys to build? And are the banks, like, you know, with you servicing financial services, are they trying to do this in-house, or does it really require a partner like Quantiverse that has sort of this expertise and is focused on, you know, training this type of building and training a specific type model like this?
Yeah, so let me break the first part of that question down into two parts, and how you ask how hard it is. Building an artificial intelligence machine learning engine is incredibly difficult and challenging. there have been so many bumps along the road in developing this and building it out, I can't even count them. But that's the nature of the business, is that's what the machine is doing, is learning as is going along. And just the idea of trying to replicate human cognitive ability, just imagine the size of that problem. It's incredibly difficult. But it is a problem that we're making significant progress and we're able to deliver value today to our clients with. The second part of that problem is then applying that engine specifically to the already complex problem of financial crimes, because criminals are very adept at moving money around the globe and hiding and obfuscating the trail of that money. So you have really two very difficult problems. So I would say there are banks, large U.S. banks, largest five U.S. banks that have their own teams of data scientists, PhDs, artificial intelligence engineers that are working very hard on problems that that bank has. And, you know, they're trying to improve customer service. They're trying to improve cross sales. They're trying to improve their customer acquisition, which are all great uses of an artificial intelligence engine. What I say to those folks is, why would you want to take that dear resource of an artificial intelligence engineer and apply it to this equally complex problem of financial crimes when it really doesn't do anything or doesn't do much for your revenue line? So I encourage all institutions, all financial institutions, but of course I'm biased, to look at a partner like Quantiverse, and hopefully Quantiverse, to help them take advantage of these technologies without having to distract their own data science teams and data science staff.
Yeah, you bring up a really interesting point. So when you look at sort of the big picture of all of the places where AI can be applied in the B2B world, you know, where are we on the spectrum? And, you know, can you give our listeners an idea of sort of how far along are we, or how much more do we have to go in this transformation, really between rules-based workflows and cognitive workflows?
Yeah, there's a huge amount of progress still yet to be made. So my answer to that question is it's relative. If you look at where we are today versus where we were 5 years ago, there's a huge, really an outstanding amount of progress in the development of AI technologies. But if you look at it to where the possibility is in the future, I think we're virtually scratching the surface on this. These technologies today are in the genre of specific AI, which means that they can solve a very specific problem. Where we're not, and it's going to be a long time to get to, is in the scope of general AI, where a machine can actually replicate, get very close to replicating true human cognition, emotions of humans, deductive reasoning of humans, the ability to apply those skills across many facets, whether it's a financial crime area or a marketing space or a cross-sale space or whatever it is. That general artificial intelligence is years, if not decades, away from us. So huge progress to date, lots of opportunity in the future to continue to harness these technologies.
David, what's next for Quantiverse? Are there other applications or other sort of trigger points that you think, you know, this technology or you guys are able to solve for your clients?
So we have a very defined roadmap that we have that we're pursuing. That roadmap has a continuous improvement parts of finding instances of money laundering and being able to stay ahead of or equal to changes in criminal behavior. But then that roadmap also goes outside of AML and builds out our FCPA, which is Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. This is people that are bribing government officials overseas to win contracts or fraud and internal fraud, people stealing from their own employers. The development of this platform across other instances of financial crime, and then the convergence of cybercrime and money laundering, which is a trend, is something that we're working very hard on and proving out that capabilities. And then, in addition to that, the world of cryptocurrencies and helping to solve the problem of the on-ramp and the off-ramp, someone going into the blockchain to move money around and then going off of the blockchain back into fiat currencies is a huge area of opportunity for us.
How do you choose which, I mean, obviously the resources that you need to solve these problems are in very high demand. So as the CEO, how are you deciding, okay, this is where I'm going to invest these limited resources that I have access to? How do you determine what problem to solve?
Oh, absolutely. I could grow my company tenfold on the expense line if I had the resources available to do that. So there are so many problems that can be solved with this technology. It would not be hard to find a problem to solve. So we're really focused on the market and what our clients are telling us that they need and what our prospective clients are telling us that they need. And just keeping our ears to the market to understand what their view is, and then, you know, not just listening to what it is that they say they want, but applying our own insight and our own beliefs into where we think that need is going to be in 2, 3, 5 years from now. So we take a view of, here's what we're hearing in the market, here's how we think that desire evolves, and we build to that, assuming that it's a big market opportunity and we can get comfortable that it's a big market opportunity. I think that's MBA 101 stuff that we're using to where we're applying our resources for the next use case.
Yeah, I know we're running out of time, but I have to ask. So is that what is pushing blockchain into your headspace?
Certainly. So there's the possibility that blockchain is going to be much larger and more significant as today. I mean, if you look at how much money, illegal, illicit money moves around the world, there's not enough blockchain available to move it. So today, while it's significant, the movement of money through blockchain doesn't come close to the total movement of illegal money through blockchain. But we're interested to think that that's going to continue to grow, and that will continue to attract criminality to it, and that will continue to be a risk for our financial services institutions and our clients. So it's something we're very keen to make sure that we have right and we do it right.
David, final question. How challenging is it for you right now to find, hire, and retain the type of skilled labor or Quantiverse and building these models and training these models? Now, it's one thing, you know, there's a sea of problems that this technology can solve. And really the issue is you just don't have enough people.
Yeah. So absolutely. The market for these resources is really tight right now. And, you know, there are other firms out there that are not startups and they have big budgets, and they can certainly pay a top AI engineer a bit more than I can, if not a lot more than I can. So, you know, it is a fight to attract really top notch talent. One thing that we have going for us is the mission itself. And so when we are engaged with potential hires, once they understand that the work that they are doing is going to be directly impactful on how hard it is for a criminal to move their money around the globe. And we're talking about the worst scumbags that the world has ever known. These are people that are moving people, and these are people that are moving drugs, and these are people that are financing terrorism. And so, either an engineer is going to buy into that mission and say, that's something important to me to have my fingerprint on, to have an impact on the world like that, or they're going to say, you know what, I just want to get the highest salary that I can possibly get, which I respect, and that's fine. But that first kind is why we're successful competing in this space and bringing on this talent. But we're always looking for more. We're always looking for more.
How do you feel about being at the, I mean, especially where you are, right? You're sitting in financial services and you're playing, not playing, but you're, you know, you're working with this white hot technology. So how does it feel to have your own company and to be in such a, like, you know, have you ever seen such a fast moving, fast paced opportunity? You know, have you ever seen that before? Can you believe that you're in this situation?
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been in the financial services technology space for, I guess, up over 25 years now. And I've never been as optimistic about a business opportunity as I have been about this one. And back to the mission that I spoke to just a second ago in recruiting, I've never been as engaged and as positive about the work that I was doing. So, you know, there's bad days, but I will tell you on the whole of it, it's very easy to get up and go to work in the morning. I mean, just knowing on a daily basis that we are going to do something today. We will do something today. Our company has done something today for a client that is going to make it harder for a criminal to move their money. It makes it easier to take those challenges on.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I have my bad days, and then I have days where I see something, and I think, God, my entire career, I've been waiting for this problem.
That's right.
It's like I was telling one of my colleagues, it's like I'm putting my finger in an electric socket. You know, the energy
right.
that comes back from the, you see the power of being able to solve these problems that have been, you know, slowing us down for decades.
Right.
And now you see, like, wow, we just knocked that one out. Like, move on
right.
to the next one. It's really, it's exciting.
It's very gratifying, no doubt.
It really is. Well, David, listen, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. I love your story and really excited to see what Quantiverse does next. So
thank you. It's been great to be with you today. Yep.
Yeah. Thanks for joining AI for B2B.
Thank you.
MRP helps its clients make better predictions about who their next customer is, to understand where they are in the buying cycle and how to acquire them more efficiently. Learn how to acquire new customers faster at mrpfd.com.
You've been listening to AI for B2B Sales and Marketing. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.